So I hope you've been joining us for the last 2 weeks, because we have been talking about John, the letters of John. And the first thing I'm going to say is I'm going to encourage you to go home and study John, or just read it for yourself, because there's actually so much in it that I don't think us preachers could even begin to, you know, to look into it. So I just encourage you to read it for yourselves at home, in your quiet times, when you're spending time with God. But tonight we're going to be looking at John, 1 John 3, chapter 3. Okay, so before I even look at it, I wanted to start off with a story that's going to hopefully lay the foundation for tonight's preach. Obviously, if you know me, you know I'm from South Africa. And as a child, I grew up in Johannesburg. And so when we wanted a holiday, we would take a 7-hour drive to the coast of Durban. And we'd have holiday at the sea in Durban. And my dad and I used to walk along the shore. And a certain time every year, if we got the time right, what would happen is loads of jellyfish would wash up onto the shore. You know, loads everywhere. You know, and these jellyfish were called blue bottles. And they had long blue tails. That's why they were called blue bottles, because they look like a bottle with a tail. And they would just lie on the shore. And, you know, my job was to try and not, you know, to try and dodge them. But I used to play a game as a child where what would happen is these particular sort of jellyfish, they were quite small. If you stand on them, they make a popping sound. I know it sounds cruel, but hey, I was a kid. Which kids didn't like burn bugs and stuff? But anyway, so I used to stand on them to make the popping sound. So I'd go from one to another, and I'd make a point just to never stand on their tails, because if you stood on their tails, they would sting you. And Durban is quite a windy sort of city. And I remember one time that I was walking on the shore, and I stood on one of these blue bottles, and a gust of wind came along. And it picked up its tail while I was still standing on it and caused the tail to wrap around my leg. Now, as a kid, I started screaming for my dad. I was like, "Dad!" And my dad came running to me, and he grabbed the tail, and he had to unwind the tail from my leg. And, you know, you can imagine my leg was burning with the sting. You know, and as a South African, he was like, "Oh, you'll be fine." And I was fine. But later on, I said to him, "How is it that the jellyfish stung me, but it didn't sting you when you were unwinding?" He said, "No, it did actually sting me. But I was so worried about your pain that I forgot my own pain. I forgot that I was being stung. My goal and intent was to relieve you from your pain." You know, because I was a kid and I was crying. And, you know, and with that story in mind, I want to sort of set the foundation for tonight. And let's start off reading. I'm going to read 1 John 3, verse 16 to 18 from the New International Version. It says this. It says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we also lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." Now, if you look at my story, imagine if my dad only loved me in words and not action. What he would have done is he would have come over to me and been like, "Oh, I'm so sorry that you're in pain. I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you." You know, in that moment, that wasn't his greatest sign of love. His greatest sign of love was sacrificing his own hand to take off the tail from my leg. He showed love in that moment. And it made me think about my own life and how guilty I was of showing love in my words, but never in my deeds. I don't know if you feel that. I don't know if you are just quite a loving person in general, but I'm not the greatest doer of love. I'm very easy to say I'm praying for you, but I don't always show love and do things when I can do things for people. How many times have we as someone gone through a tragedy in life, and we're like, we'll pray for you. And then number one, we forget to pray. And number two, we never follow up. We never try and bless them in some way to ease their pain. And what is love? In this passage of scripture, it says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters. To love someone completely as Christ Jesus loved us takes sacrifice. His love was an action of sacrifice. It is marked by sacrificial care and intent. Every one of us will face a decision every day whether or not we want to love someone. And those decisions are usually in split moments of, do I love or do I not love? You know, I'll give you an example. When you're at a church meeting and someone says something that you totally disagree with, what is your response to them? Is it love? Or is it like, oh, I do not like you anymore. I do not like the way you think. You know, when someone cuts us up on the road, what's our first reaction? Is it love or not? We have these decisions all the time. Now, the church at that time must have been having issues with love as well, because most of John is talking about loving each other in the church. If you read 1 Peter 4 verse 8, it says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. John 15 verse 12 says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Now, what's the opposite of love? In this particular scripture, it's actually hate. I'll read it to you. So 1 John 3 verse 14 to 15, if you read that, it says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. And anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. That's pretty strong words. I was like, really, John? I don't really go out. I can honestly say that I've never physically killed anyone or murdered anyone. I'm just going to throw that out there. But I started looking into what it means to hate someone. And, you know, I looked up the Greek words, I listened to commentaries, and the best way I could find it was, it means to detest, to love less, or esteem less. And I was like, Lord, have I ever done this in my life? You know, I try and show people mercy, but he reminded me of a time where there was someone in one of the churches I was going to, and this person really got on my nerves. Like, I just didn't agree with his lifestyle choices. I didn't agree with how he represented Christ. He was incredibly quirky. And so he just got on my nerves. And I just, after a while, had grown quite a contempt towards him. And I knew that at one point I had a massive heart issue. And if I were to compare my life and fit it into the scripture, before God, I was considered the same as a murderer. Because in God's eyes, sin is the same. Whether you're a liar or a murderer before God, you're still a sinner. You know, and I started realizing more and more that hate and things like that all come from the heart. It's from what is inside us. Sin comes from inside. Many times, it's not actually a physical action either. Many times it's a thought or a heart attitude. How do I know this? If we read Matthew 12, verse 33 to 37, it says, make a good tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up inside of him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up inside of him. And I knew that I had evil in my heart. I might not have looked like much of a sinner. You know, I was going to church twice every week, every prayer meeting. I was spending time with God every day. But this heart issue I could not deal with. I could not love another brother in Christ. I couldn't do what those scriptures were saying, which was, you know, love covers a multitude of sins. And I want to ask you the question today. I want to ask you the question, do you have any heart issues with people in the church, people in the body of Christ that you just can't stand? And you're like, well, I don't know actually. And this is how I knew my own heart that I had an issue. And I'm going to give you five things. Today is a bit of a points sermon. The first one is your reaction is critical and judgmental to that person. So when someone mentions their name, the first thing you do is criticize. The second thing, it bothers you when the person receives something that they don't deserve. You know, in our Bible study this week, our fellowship group, we were actually talking about justification and what it means to be justified before God. And a lot of it we spoke about, that justification is when we receive things we don't deserve. You know, God, before us, none of us deserve forgiveness. None of us deserve to be close to God. And yet he gives it to us anyway. How much more those around us who we might not agree with or like. Number three, you would secretly like trouble to come to them so that their true colors would come out. Number four, you are jealous of their successes and indifferent to their losses. As a brother or sister in Christ, you don't share in their joy. You don't weep when they're going through trouble. Number five, when you speak of them to others, you try to damage their reputation or let their sins be known to everyone. Now, why did John speak so much in this chapter about loving people in the church? And I asked God about this. I was like, you know, Lord, you know, we should be loving the world. But it's because I realized that if, as Christians, we cannot love each other in a church, what chance do we have of loving others? What chance do we have of loving a fallen world if we cannot even love each other or bear with each other? The more I read the word, the more I realize that love is not an emotion. It's not a feeling. It's a choice. It's a choice to do something. And if we learn to be people who do something for each other, the world will see this and say, those Christians, they love each other. They help each other. What a witness. Outwardly, we could pretend to be a loving church, but if on the inside we are happy to slander each other, speak bad about each other, come against each other, what chance do we have of showing the love of Christ to this world? James 4:11 says, brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or a sister or judges them speaks against the law, and the law judges it. I stand before you now as someone who is guilty. I've been guilty of doing this, and before God's eyes, I was considered a murderer. But praise God. This message is not about condemnation. This message is not about making you feel guilty. This message is about you opening your heart, saying, God, help me to at least love my brothers and sisters in Christ, even if I don't agree, even if their opinions are different from mine, even if they irritate me, even if what I think they're doing is wrong. And how do we learn? How do we do this? And this is how I did it. And it's something I'm still working on. I can't say I'm fully loving to everybody, but it's something I'm working on. I think the first thing is to recognize that you have a heart problem, if you do. A person who fails to see his own sin is blinded by his own deceptive heart. Number two, ask the Lord for help. None of us can actually love each other unconditionally. It's not in our human nature to love that much. But I know that if we cry out to God, and the whole, you know, and that's what I've been praying, Holy Spirit, help me love. There's certain people that I struggle to love, and my prayer is always, Lord, help me love them the way you love them. Help me see them the way you see them. Number three, which I found really helpful, was praying for the person. Now, it wasn't just a Lord bless them today. It was properly praying in the sense of, Father, bless their family, bless their business, bless everything their hand touches. Let them know you more, Father. And if there's anything wrong in their lives, Father, give me the courage to go to them personally, or Father, reveal it to them in a different way, Father. Number four, I would say, if you want to fix your heart, never slander that person or their reputation to anyone. Never share their sins with those around you. And if you're not willing to say it whilst they're in the room, then you should never say it. I am guilty of this as well. Number five, if God gives you an opportunity to bless them, do it without hesitation. Usually your flesh will cry out saying they don't deserve this, they should not be receiving this. But if it will help your own heart and God has clearly given you an opportunity to bless them, He's doing it so that you could fix your inside and love them. You know, I found this message quite hard to preach because, you know, I know that I'm a person who would happily say I love people. But I know that sometimes my heart doesn't love people the way it should. But I love God because He disciplines and He corrects and He helps us. This message is all about crying out to help, saying, God, help us love each other more. Help us be a church that is in unity, a church that represents Christ. I want to end off with one scripture, which is John 13, verse 34 to 35. It says, a new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And Jesus was saying this to disciples about each other, that if we learn to love each other, the world will know that we are the disciples of Jesus.